Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, where I'm the host and I get to pick the players, the people that I'm going to interview. And today is so special. I don't know if you know, but I like interviewing people, especially people who are doing amazing things. And so this one is a little outside of the pump industry, which I normally talk about on here, but what a fantastic guest I have. So Ikram, if you will go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody kind of who you are and what you do.
Sounds good. Thank you, Charlie, for having me, and thank you for everything you're doing for women. I'm so happy to be here today. So a few words about me. I'm Ikram. I'm VP of Global Marketing and also Managing Director in a femtech company. So I work in healthcare. So I work for this company called Aspivix. It's a startup, and it's really about improving women's health. So I'm very passionate about women's health, marketing, healthcare, and empowering women.
Yes. And so y'all know I love empowering women around here. I think they are the future, if not the current. I think both. Yes, I do. But I find it interesting. I mean, first of all, I want to hear a little bit more about your story and how you got into the industry. But I do have some questions about women's health that we'll get to. But tell us your background and kind of what led you to this.
Okay. So where should I start? When I was young, one of my childhood dream was to become a pediatrician. So I've always been interested in healthcare for different reasons. But then I wasn't able to go to med school. The thing to know about me is I'm resilient, stubborn in some ways. So when I want something, I'm trying to make it happen. So there's not just one straight line. There's other ways to achieve goals. And for me, it was through marketing. So I just fell in love with marketing. I've completed my education background with a master's in strategic marketing and communication. And then 20 years ago, I've joined my very first company in healthcare. So I started with a 2-month contract that became 5 years. And before I know it, it's almost 20 years that I'm in healthcare. So I've worked in a very diverse type of companies, in pharma, medical device, clinical diagnostic, now in femtech, for large corporation and startup.
So I love this because, you know, we all set out and we kind of have these dreams or goals that we want to accomplish. And sometimes we just shift a little bit, but there's always that like core in you and you found it. So here's your skill sets. Here are all the things that, you know, resources that you had to get you into marketing, but you still love that industry of healthcare and just you were going to find your way no matter what. It was in you exactly. That you were going to be there, which I think is true for everything. I love human growth and development, and I love leadership and all that mindset training and everything that you can do as a coach. And so I found my way back to that too. And so anyway, that aside, marketing, right? And mm-hmm. You have picked one of the toughest industries, I would assume, as far as marketing for healthcare. I feel like it's demanding and competitive. Everybody is complaining sometimes, you know, sometimes. And so, you know, it's just how do you navigate, you know, marketing in that type of environment?
And you can add to it that it's very regulated. Mm-hmm. So in marketing, healthcare, you cannot have claims saying we have the best drug ever. It's very regulated. So how can you really be creative in a healthcare industry? But I find it very interesting because you get to be even more creative. And it's all about getting data, evidence. That's why it's very important to have, like when you have a product that comes to the market, it takes years and years. Because you really need to validate. So working very closely with physicians, doctors, lab people to really validate each step and turn that into marketing materials. So yeah, it's very intellectually stimulating to work in this industry. And even if I'm not in the front end, it's also very rewarding because you get to improve patients' life or diagnoses or things like that, depending on the type of company you're working for.
Yeah, and that data behind it, I think we all can learn a lesson in marketing for that is to look at the data and make sure that we are taking something from it. What can we take from the actual data, and having a conversation with our customer? I mean, that is it. We do a lot of reporting, but what is that if you just, have the report? Now we've got to see what we want to do next with it. What story we need to tell, right?
Exactly. In marketing, it's all about telling stories. In my just to take an example, in my current company for Aspivix, we work on reducing pain for women in gynecology. There's so many stories out there. So how can we start from patient story? Like women are really suffering, and how do we collect data? So we need to do studies to really show how the current standard of care is impacting patient outcome and patient care. And then with our device, we are really improving that. So how can you turn those evidence into a new story and really change the narrative?
Yeah, I am so interested in this because I've been studying, and there's just not a lot of research on women across the board. Yes, healthcare, but other industries as well. But just, I mean, I wonder, how we get that information, right? We've got to be willing to do the study. But, how do you feel like you are empowering women right now?
Oh, there's so many ways to empower. Just to go back to data, in my current industry in women's health, when you take a look at data available, we only have 30 years of history. Basically, we started enrolling women in clinical trials 30 years ago. So all the drugs that have been developed, devices, were used on men. So when you know that men and women have different hormones, then using one specific type of medication can, in some cases for women, not have any impact or can have an adverse event. So it's really about collecting those data to make sure that you're validating and taking into account different type of population, because that will also impact their health. So that's what a lot of things are happening right now in terms of research. We need more research. We need more data. We need more funding. We need more innovation in women's health. And
So how
all
do
of
they
that.
do that? How do they do that? Is it like when you go to the doctor, you sign and you're like, okay, you can study me? Are there programs that is it kind of is it inserted already into the system now, or is it something that we have to kind of look for to participate in?
It really depends. It really depends if we are talking about drugs or devices. Some studies are open to specific type of population. So they will make you sign a patient consent form and ask you if you are okay to be enrolled in this trial. In other cases, yeah, there's so many things that comes into it, but you can be given the opportunity to be part of it. So yeah,
Yeah, I
but that's
remember
amazing.
when I had the open heart surgery and I was going through the process. I remember seeing a paper that's basically asking me, will I let this, my medical records be part of the study? I remember that. Of course I did, because I'm all pro, you can have my information. But I think it's important because there were especially during kind of COVID time, which is where I went kind of through this, it was affecting the heart differently too. So there's all kinds of things we don't even know.
Exactly.
And they did kind of have that process in there, whether they knew what study it was going to be a part of or not. So I would just look for ways to do that. But what type of studies have you been working on, or have you thought of something that kind of needs better options for women? Well, I guess what kind of studies are you working on?
So right now we're working on a study with Indianapolis IU Health, and another site will come in really improving patient care when women need to get an IUD, for example. So IUD is an option that is available. That's the most effective contraceptive solution. But at the end of the day, a lot of cases, women choose not to get an IUD because of fear of pain. There's so many horrific stories out there of women who get a very bad experience getting an IUD, and mostly because of pain. And the pain is due to what is called the cervical tenaculum. So it's an instrument that looks like a pincher. So basically, that's what they have been using for years and years. That's the standard of care, and that's what we are changing. So with the study, it's really about sh showing the pain and the bleeding that is caused with the current instrument when a woman should to get an IUD, and the positive effect with our device, showing that it's suction-based. So we don't have the bleeding, we don't have the type of pain that a tenecclem can generate. So getting those studies out there, getting more women enrolled in those studies, will get more evidence that we can show to different scientific societies and change the standard of care. That's not how women should be treated. They deserve way better. Why are we still using something that was extracting bullets from soldiers hundreds of years ago and is used on women? Like, doesn't make any sense. So how can we truly change that?
I love that. And I think, there's so much there of if you think about women's health and you think about them trying to work in the same environments at the same time, our bodies are different. They go through all kinds of different things that it does affect our work. And so if you think about that and how to be more productive and efficient and all of the things that we it also is help care, right? And our care for our bodies. And we just don't talk about it because, it can be uncomfortable. It can be like, I don't want to hear that. And it's really, it's how can we help each other? And so, I'd love to hear from your side, just as a, in a work environment, this is a, and even on the podcast, right? It's a little different, conversation. So how do you approach that when you're talking to people or just in general, what's some feedback to kind of make it easier to have this conversation at work?
I think it starts with first education. So I will encourage anyone to really learn about how our body works and have a discussion. Have a discussion with your friends, with people in your family if you feel comfortable with. There's even myself, just to give you an example. As a woman, there's so many things I didn't know until I really joined Women's Health. Like, dang, this is how things are done, or this is how my body will react. All of us will get to a point where we'll get menopause. All of us get periods. Why don't we even talk about that? There's so many taboo and stigma around women that should not be. Like, if you better understand all of that and what you should expect, menopause, I never had that discussion with anyone in my family. So I don't know what to expect now that I can have discussion with other innovators, founders, clinicians, so I can be more prepared. So it's all about starting with education. The more you talk about it, the more people will understand and be also able to adjust the workplace. A woman who needs to breastfeed, how do you even manage that if you're not like all the time trying to hide? Like, no, that shouldn't be. So just to give you a couple of examples, but that starts with education and talking them up.
Yeah,
And with
absolutely.
women and also with men.
Yes, I think about so I have a daughter, and so anytime there's a life change, a body change, it's a body change at this point, right? Or why am I so hot all of a sudden? She's a teenager. I'm like, well, your body's changing, So it's like figuring out to how to address this with our children, for one, to just talk about it. Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? Because something's happening to you, or you need to hide this because it's uncomfortable for people to talk about, for one. So if we can at least do that with our children, I think is really important so that they will get to the point where they don't have to overcome quite so much, because they're not going to have to overcome like, shh, we shouldn't even be talking about this right now, right? That there's like some kind of stigma around that.
Exactly.
They'll just be able to talk about it. So encouraging that, there's so much in our corporate space as far as well-being and how to take care of others. So, and that leading to better cultures for companies and, the longevity and sustainability of your employees. And
Exactly.
so there's a lot there. But I love your passion for helping women in the and especially giving us the resources through healthcare is going to help across industry. The story, though, on the bringing you as that child that wants to help people into this environment where you're helping women, right? Is it a very like, do you feel like it's a male populated industry at all? that you're in, or is it mostly just dominated by women?
I would say in healthcare, just in general, I feel like it's, and it's just my perception. I think it's a good mix, male, women. Now being in women's health, more specifically, I don't have the right number, but it's mostly women because a lot of innovators, they start with their own personal experience. So they have faced an issue. It's like, there's no solution out there. I need to come up with something that will help others. So I definitely see a lot of, when we talk about women's health, it regroups a big bucket of disease and specific condition, maternal health, contraception, menopause periods, and the list goes on and on. So there's not a lot of men who can relate to that. So that's why I'm very excited to work for this company, SPVX, because the co-founders are men. So that's really interesting to bring men also into this discussion. And also when we pitch, like I work in a startup and you have a discussion with investors, most of the time investors are men. So how can we change that? When you were talking and asking me, how do we empower? It starts with empowering women, getting to learn about yourself, like your body, getting to be and feel empowered to be the CEO of your own healthcare. Like, get to understand what you should expect, be more proactive, take care of yourself. Women are the one making the decision, like more than 80% for the expenses in the household and also medical expenses for the family. But most of the time, they are the one who don't really take care of themselves. Like, I think from the one of the last data I've seen, 25% of women's lifetime is spent in poor condition just because we don't care too much about us. We care
Yeah.
about all the other people. So
That's
that's just a good reminder of take care of yourself, be proactive, do your screening, and yeah, all the things that we know we should be doing and we don't necessarily do it.
It also reminds me on the financial side that, women, we've got to also pay attention to that so we can get to where we can invest in companies and be those angel investors. Or it's been on my heart a lot lately, even just offering scholarships and opportunities for startups. What does that look like? And, what do we need to do? First of all, of not spend a fourth of our life in bad condition, but gosh, that number is just astonishing to me. And I think that go back to the data, that's the story, right? Like we have to take care of ourselves. And then with that, taking care of us financially is really important so that we can create these types of changes out there. Yes, so much good in there. And I'm just excited, to get to meet you. And I know you've talked marketing before in the past for us, but any other, just being involved with Empowering Women group for the people and for Empowering Pumps and Equipment that don't know, we also have Empowering Women in Industry where we have an event, we have members, member community that we have meetups and different trainings all, all through really every month. And so, you've definitely contributed that as a virtual speaker for us in the past. And, that community of women, it feels like you're constantly learning and growing for me in there. Even, I created this, but I am also a partner of in this learning together. Well, how has that experience been for you?
It has been awesome. I'm all about networking, getting to know other people, and especially amazing women, because that's also how I get inspired. I always get something out of any discussion. So right now, so that's why I raised my hand last year. I was like, oh, can I be part of it? Because I would like to learn from others. And also if there's anything I can contribute based from my own experience that can help others. So that's why I spend a lot of time also mentoring. Because I feel like when I was young, I missed that. And I wish I had someone who, it's all about representation and having guidance. So I've learned a lot of things also by doing mistake. But I wish I had someone who will have guided me and give me different perspective in different moments in my life. That way I will have saved time. I will probably have started investing too. But it's never too late. So that's what I'm really looking forward with those meetings and summits, is really to connect with other women and get different perspective, get to learn your journey. And you always find something that we have in common. Could be, I don't know, healthcare experience in leadership or in anything else.
Well, I have enjoyed getting to know you, and I look forward to seeing where your work takes us. And I say us on
Thank you.
purpose. And, you know, I am thankful to have great marketers to tell the stories. That's so important. And not being hindered by like this is a complex or regulated industry. It's like, okay, well, let's see. I am creative, and I'm gonna figure out a way to tell this within the parameters. And so we have that, you know, in the equipment industry too. It's like, how can I make this exciting when, you know, you've got, you know, these are the standards, this is what it is kind of thing. Well,
And one
Akram.
thing I can just to close it. One thing, and it applies to any type of industry, and especially yours, is really about, that's why marketing is really important. It's really about telling the story and don't feel ashamed. I love the fact that you have women very feeling empowered to tell the story and to change the narrative. The clothing with the pink is like, yeah, you go for it, girl. And I like that. So that's, we need more women like that. And it's all about representation. So the more we see, the more normal it will like feel for everybody else. So just keep doing that.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm looking forward to our next industry fashion show. That will be October 10th in New Orleans. We have the conference, awards, and the industry fashion show. It's a great time, so be involved. Men absolutely can come and support. Definitely nominate our women for their awards. And I think we can learn from each other too. So, you know, making sure that we have that conversation with our allies out there, so important to us. Thank you for being on today, and I
Anytime.
could talk to you forever, but I
Me
do ha
too.
have another recording. You know, I want to commend you for saying yes to my be on the podcast request, because I think it's important that we do go for it, right? To go out there and look for those opportunities to share our story. So if anybody's out there listening to this and you want to share your story, please let me know. And until next time, be empowering.